God bless you. What's an honor and privilege to have you worship the Lord with us. Let's begin this part of the service with prayer, if you bow your head. Father, we thank you for every person that's under the sound of my voice. Right now, we just ask you to touch them, bless them, encourage them. Whatever they're needing, I ask that you reveal your word, truth, for it's the truth that we know that brings liberty and freedom into our lives. We honor you today, Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise. We thank you for saving us, healing us, delivering us, protecting us, providing for us, all the stuff and even more that we could ever ask. We honor you. Amen. 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 We've been doing this series called Selfies, Sunday Selfies, and we started with actually having you do selfies if you were here with us. And the context and the idea from that is something that most people do. It might be at a special location, on vacation kind of deal. It might be with special friends. It might be just you, and you just want a picture of yourself again, and you keep posting them on your Facebook. But any way, shape, or form, we notice and we talk about something that most of us very familiar with. If you're not, a selfie is actually you just taking a picture of yourself. And we've used that context to bring in this idea, where are you in the picture? Most obvious question would bring the most obvious answer. Well, Pastor, I'm the key person in the picture. It's my selfie. And taking that to the context of life, where are you in the priorities of your world? The selfie of life. And most people say, well, that's an obvious answer to an obvious question. It's my life. It's all about me. But when you live life all about me, you actually lose a quality of life that God has for you. We found in Scripture that the Bible says that when you accepted Jesus, he wanted you to kind of change from all about me to be all about him. That doesn't mean that you're praying all the time or reading the Bible all the time and witnessing to every person you see. There's a balance to this. But it's living life with choices. You know, life's about choices and decisions and priorities. And living life in a way that it's in line with God's word and honors him. And so we see many times in life, the world tells us if you're going to have a great life, you have to have X, Y, and Z. And we strive to get all those things with the fact or the belief that one day when I get that, then I'll be happy. Then life will be great. If only I could live in that neighborhood, if I could only drive that car that just buzzed by me going 100 miles an hour on 270. If I only was married to that person, if I was only married, if I only had kids, if I only didn't have kids, come on somebody. If only... All the if-onlys that we come up, if I only had a better job, if I only had my boss's job, if only I had a lot of money, if only I was famous like those people on TV and had an agent, if only I played professional sports. There's a lot of if-onlys. But the reality is God wants you blessed. There's all kinds of scriptures in the Bible about you being blessed. Not everybody reads the Bible, but they need to. Because there's more scriptures about you being blessed financially than almost any other topic. In fact, I like to say it this way. God not only doesn't mind, God wants you to have stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you. God wants you to be successful. He wants you to be happy. He wants your marriage to flourish. He wants you to flourish in the house of God. He wants you to do well in life. But the struggles that we deal with is that the world has taken Jesus out of all this stuff. And then people get the stuff thinking it's going to make them happy. And folks, without Jesus, there's only a quality and a level of happiness that comes from him. And that's why you see people who become famous on TV, athletes, movie stars, celebrities, singers, and they get all this money. And then they make a series of bad choices. And they just kind of self-implode. They get caught up in drugs and in addictions. They go through several divorces. They try to commit suicide. And you wonder, if happiness was based on fame and power and money, they have it. Why aren't they? It's because the true happiness and joy comes from God. Amen. And so God wants you blessed. He wants to see your career succeed. He wants you to be influential. He wants you to do well. Okay? But he wants to be number one. And when Jesus is number one in your life, all this other stuff you can handle. Because he's the navigator of your decisions and choices. But when Jesus is not in the mix, then you become the number one, and boy, can we all mess stuff up. You know what I mean? Things change. Things are going great, and all of a sudden you're like, I got it here, Lord. I don't need you anymore. And things, what happened? It doesn't mean every challenge is a bad choice, because in life you're going to deal with challenges. But we all come, you come to the realization, and it will help you sooner than later when you realize that when you keep Jesus, number one, he can help you be blessed. And he adds no sorrow to it, the Bible says. He can help you succeed in business, and you don't have to be cutthroat or dishonest. He can help you have a great marriage. He can help you. And it comes from doing it his way, not our way. And it comes from taking, you can say it this way, pulling yourself out of your own selfie. It's not about me, it's about him. Like Mary told the servants at the wedding of Canaan, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Like Nike, just do it. Before Nike was Jesus, just do it. Just do it. It has come into a trust factor that God, whatever you speak to my heart from your word, not allowing people to manipulate you, because there's a balance. Some people hear this message and now they think they can control people by just saying, God's telling me to tell you. Well, if God didn't tell you to do it, then it's not from God. Because even when God uses people, it will always be lined up with the Bible and will always be a confirmation to what he's already told you in your own relationship with him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I believe in prophets. I have some friends that operate in that office. But the Bible didn't say my people, my sheep, will follow the prophets. It said they'll follow me. Yeah. Prophets are there to confirm, okay? And we don't get the Old Testament and the New Testament prophets mixed up. And there is a difference, but we don't have time for that today. But we learn to say, I'm going to pull myself out of the picture and say, Jesus, you show me from your word. I make you not only my Savior, my Lord, which means whatever you tell me to do, I'll obey. I'll obey. That's what Samuel had to deal with. He couldn't hear anymore till Eli showed him and taught him that the next time God gets your attention, respond by saying, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. What is he saying? Lord, speak, and I'm already going to do it. I'm going to put into action your plans before I even heard your plans. Living that way doesn't make life harder. It actually makes life smoother because you know if you're going down the wrong path, he'll show you because your conscience is clear. Your heart is right. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means your attitude hardened when you make a mistake. 1 John 1, you repent and say, Lord, I messed that one up. Forgive me. And you get back up, you clean yourself up, and you keep moving forward. And you know that if you need to do something different, he will show you. And you sleep so much better at night. Because we're all growing. We're all improving. Or we should be. All learning. No one's perfect. But when you have your conscience clear, your heart is right, then you know, hey, it's going to work out. Going to work out. Don't see everything, but I trust the Lord with all my heart, and I don't lean on my own understanding. All my ways or decisions, I acknowledge him, and he is directing my path, which means I'm going to follow it. It's going to work out. Say, it's going to be all right. Come on, say, it's going to be all right. Even when you might be dealing with a storm, but you know you're on the right path. I mean, when they hit the storm and Jesus told the disciples, get in the boat, we're going on the other side, it didn't mean that it would be a smooth floating and angels would fly by and lift them above the clouds. And this is Jesus, and yet you expect that to happen for you. No, they hit a storm, but Jesus dealt with the issue. He didn't run from it. He dealt with the giant. He didn't run from it. He dealt with the winds. He didn't run from it because he refused to allow the obstacle to redirect his destination. Because it's not always going to be flowery. It's not always going to be goosebumps. There's times you'll have to deal with some challenges and some giants. And when you say, Lord, I'm going to do this. David said, I can take Goliath, not because I can do it. He was saying, I can take Goliath because God can do it. And you know that whatever battle you face, you're not alone. Whatever challenge you deal with, you're not alone. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and you're doing what he wants you to do, which means you operate with the authority of God, which means God backs what you're saying because what you're saying is in line with his word because he watches over his word to perform it, and all of a sudden, it's not about you. It's all about him, and if he said it, you're doing it, and he said, I'm there to make sure it happens. Amen. And it might not be overnight. Boy, we sure like to have it overnight, but it will happen. The devil say it'll never happen. Well, just rejoice. Just celebrate. Amen. Just smile at least. Amen. When the devil tells you it will never happen, because Jesus said that the devil is a liar, the father of all lies, and there's no truth in him. So the moment the devil tells you it won't work for you, you might as well say, I must be on something now, because he never had to tell me that before. I must be on the right path. I must be on the right direction. I must be getting ready to walk through the doorstep of a great chapter of my life, a new level of living, a new excitement that I didn't know before. Why would it be giving you so much resistance if it wasn't true? See, resistance, Matthew 13, comes because that word is starting to bring a change on the inside of you. And when that word gets done with you, whoo, watch out, devil. Watch out, problem. That thing, that mountain's going to look like a molehill. That giant is going to look like an opportunity. Those issues are going to look like no big deal. Say no big deal. Say no big deal. I didn't share this in the first experience, but I feel that we have to learn to allow the word of God to develop us. One time, many years ago, we were going through a situation in the church. And sometimes we can allow the stresses and the problems around us to get within us. And that was actually happening to me. And this is years ago, and the church was struggling financially. And you know, money pressure is one of those weird pressures that it's just like, some of you know what I'm talking about. I think if you lived any level of life and grown, you've been through that phase. And I found myself getting a little critical and negative, and I wasn't walking around complaining, but it was those little cutting remarks ever so often in conversations that I didn't plan. And you'd be talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, you ever get that moment, and all of a sudden, out of your mouth, you're like, and as God is my witness, and this don't happen to me every day. It'd be cool, but it doesn't, and it's only happened like this once. I was on my day off, and I was running errands, and I was, my daughter was at school, my wife, in those days, she was working at a different secular job, and I was running errands, and I was getting some stuff, and my routine was doing my errands, grab some food, and then come home and eat it. So I went in, I got some McDonald's, isn't that super spiritual? Should have been Chick-fil-A, maybe it would have been better, but anyway. And so I came in, set the stuff down, turned the TV on. I'm not thinking about God, I'm not thinking about praying, I'm not thinking about any of that stuff. I'm thinking about, I need ketchup for my french fries. I'm just showing you, this was like... And as I'm walking through the kitchen, I found myself halfway in stride, as God is my witness. It's like I'm just going to get ketchup, and bam, I found myself in the glory of God. I came to a complete stop, and nothing in my brain told me to stop, but I found myself stopped, hands raised, tears coming down, and praying and interceding out of my spirit deeply. I wasn't thinking, oh, this is a good time to pray before. No. It was like, bam. I'm like, how'd I get here, right? And out of that, I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, if this is all you can handle, this is as far as I can take you. See, God doesn't create the problem, but he's going to grow you so that the problem is no big deal. And out of that, I came with the revelation of learning to say, even if it looked a little scary, no big deal. No big deal. Say, no big deal. I don't know who I'm talking to today, and maybe you're dealing with something. You're kind of like, this is overwhelming. This could be devastating. Well, you got to get to the place that you trust God so much, you can say, no big deal. I'm telling you, that ticks off the enemy so bad. You talk about making the devil nervous when you look at a problem and say, no big deal. My God can handle this. David looked at Goliath and said, no big deal. I got this because God's going to deliver me. He had so much confidence in God. And when you begin to live for the Lord, it's amazing how you'll have those moments where it just might be overwhelming, but something rises up in you and say, wait a minute, I'm going to succeed in this. No big deal. Say, no big deal. So we're learning to take ourselves out of the picture so that Jesus can be the priority. And when Jesus is the priority, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, there's a follow-up, love your neighbor as you love yourself, context. And in that, we begin to bring in the idea that when you do a selfie, it's just not about you. Take yourself out. Because when you start living just for yourself, that's where temptation, James says, starts. You're living just to draw, get to help. Everybody's got to be there for me. And when you live that way, I'm telling you, when life is about just making you happy, eventually you will no longer be happy. In fact, every 3 to 5 years, it's a principle that just, for whatever reason, works. People who live where it's just about them, every 3 to 5 years, in no matter what area, their job, my boss don't appreciate me anymore, my church is not doing it for me anymore, my spouse is not there like he used to or she used to be there for. What happens? You're living for yourself, and every 3 to 5 years, one or two things will happen if you don't change. One, you'll move on, or two, you'll dry up. Some marriages are dry. Some church people come to church and they're a member, but they're dry. Why? Because they thought it was all about them. I'm going to church to be blessed. Hear me. God wants you to be blessed when you come to church. Can I get an amen? Let me say that again. God wants you to get blessed when you come to church.
Amen.
Can I get a little better amen?
Amen.
Thank you very much. So church shouldn't be something you endure. It should be something you enjoy. But that's the beginning phases. If it stays with, I'm just going to church to be blessed, you're going to miss out. Because God wants you to know that you're coming to not only be blessed, but to be a blessing. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Come on, shout with me. I'm blessed.
To be a blessing.
That's the context. He told Abraham that. Jesus said, freely receive, freely give. There is a principle here. When marriage is all about me getting, it's going to dry up until I start learning how to give. When my friendships are all about what I can get out of it, it's going to dry up until I learn how to add to it. When my checking account is all about my withdrawals, it's going to bankrupt until I learn how to make some deposits. See how this principle works? When you come into church, it's all about what you get, and it's going to dry up, and all of a sudden, it's like, man, Pastor Greg's not doing it for me anymore, and that band, I didn't like that song, and I'm seeing some issues, and all of a sudden, you become critical. Folks, a critical mindset is one tool of the devil, because let me help you out. There's not a perfect church. Let me help you out. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. Might look good on TV, but when you're looking for something perfect and you find it, don't join it because you'll mess it up because you are not perfect. It's just a reality. When it's all about what you draw from it and you never add to it, you're going to bankrupt it. Say, I'm blessed to be a blessing because there's people in your selfie besides you. Even when Jesus said, you're the light of the world, he didn't stop there and say, woohoo, celebrate, you're the light, you're the light. Let's all chant, I'm the light, I'm the light, I'm the light. He didn't do that. He said, you're the light. Now here's what I want you to do. Don't hide it. Don't cover it up. Put it on a stand or a table so that it benefits those in the house. What I'm doing in you, I want to do through you to benefit somebody else. Jesus even said when he read from the scroll, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do, to preach, to proclaim, to set at liberty, to heal the brokenhearted. What was he saying? He's anointed me so that I become famous. No. He's anointed me so I can build a big ministry. No. He's anointed me to make a difference in somebody else's life. That's really what the anointing is about. God's grace and giftedness on you to make a difference in other people's lives. Yeah, but boy, we sure messed that up in the church world, haven't we? We started thinking, anointing meant I'm better than you. Anointing meant you owe me. Anointing meant you need to kiss my ring. Anointing means you need to treat me like I'm the king. No. All you have to do is read the Gospels. Don't take my word for it. Jesus started washing the disciples' feet. And they're like, no, we're not going to let you do that. He goes, wait a minute, you understand, the greatest amongst you, you guys really want to be great disciples? You'll talk about who's going to be the greatest? Let me help you out. Start serving other people. We've lost that in the body of Christ somehow. Because we've become professional ministers that want to be celebrities, that are looking for how many followers we can so that they all can. I got to get back. I got to leave my peeps alone. Okay, here we go. So we got to get ourselves out of the picture. Begin to see the others. And sometimes we even get photobombed. Those are people God brings in our life that we didn't expect, didn't plan, but he wants us to show mercy. Not everybody, but he'll move your heart with compassion. Not emotion, compassion. Compassion is different than emotion. Most people don't realize that, and they're moved emotionally. And all you have to do is see a sad kid on TV in a commercial, and you're thinking, they're hungry, I have to feed them. Well, if they haven't been fed by now, someone needs to be taken out and pistol whipped, right? But they, let me help you out. Let me give you an inside track. They have learned in marketing how to manipulate people to give financially by manipulating their emotions. I don't want you to give emotionally. I want you to give by faith, which is obedience to God's word. Because faith connects God's power to your situation. You give emotional, you know what you're going to get? The emotional buzz. And after that, what I give? Okay? It annoys me, and I guess because I'm a minister and I see other ministers do this, and they literally will say that they're doing this and how they manipulate people, and I can't stand that. Listen, I'm going to stand before the Lord just like you will one day. And my heart is to keep my heart right with God. I fear Jesus more than I fear you. Okay? And I fear Jesus more than I want to compete with anybody. Okay? So at the end of the day, it's learning not to be manipulated, not by emotion, but by compassion the Lord will place on your heart to help people, not allowing people to manipulate you to help them. You better help me. You got a good paying job. I don't have a job. I don't want to work. So here's my bills. You love Jesus. You better. When people try to get you to jump through hoops to prove your relationship with Jesus, that's not of God. That's how the devil tried one of the temptations. If you are the Son of God, prove it. Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus did so many miracles that the Bible says that if all of the miracles Jesus did were written down, that the books of the world could not contain them. And yet, when the Pharisees and Sadducees said, why don't you do some miracles to prove you're the Son of God? Not going to do it. See, just because someone tries to manipulate you doesn't mean that you have to jump through that hoop. We jokingly tell you that if someone says, if you love Jesus, then you, if you're a Christian, you should actually be helping me. Just stop and say, wait a minute, let me ask. Who are you going to ask? You don't have a phone. Don't worry about that. Just a minute. No, Jesus said, I don't have to help you this time. Get yourself off the hook. You obey the Lord. You obey his word. And when you do those things, keep it simple, he does something. Okay? Now, God could use people, but always be in confirmation with the word and in alignment with what he spoke to you already. But we learn to, there's opportunities. But today, I want to add another piece to this. Because we're not going to take a selfie today like we've done in the past, but if you ever take selfies, you've got to frame it right. Now, some of you who are selfie veterans, my new word for today. That means people who've been taking selfies for a long time. You remember back in the day before there was a camera on the front and back, right? You have to take a selfie and you have to look. Did I get a good picture? Take a selfie again. No, that didn't work. Take a selfie again, right? And you kept doing it or you got in a mirror. Some of you remember those days, right? Now we don't have to worry about that. Now we just, because the camera is on the other side too, you can look at it and see it and get yourself framed in there right. And anybody you want or don't want in there. Yeah, come take a selfie with me. So you can do, all that is available. But you know, there's something else that we have to learn. Not just where are we in the picture, not who else is in the picture, not who's been photobombing our picture of the selfie of our lives. But begin to look beyond the picture. One of the things that I kind of picked up from my dad years ago, and I don't know why, maybe it was his curiosity and conversations that sparked it. He would do this from time to time. And I found myself doing this. If I'm at an airport, if I'm at a ball game, I kind of watch people. Try it sometime. I'm not saying make fun of people, ridicule people, or trying to find the ugliest or weirdest people. I mean, you could do that if you want, but I'm just saying, just watch people. It's amazing to me. It's amazing how many people there are in the world. Just in our town. And then you go, I mean, just at a ball game. All these people, most of them you've never met, don't know. And they all have their own world. Their own dreams, their own history, their own mistakes, their own achievements, their goals. All this complex stuff going on in their world, in their life. And it's happening for each and every one of them. I remember the first time I went to the Philippines to minister. We have a lot of Hope churches over there. And you get a mindset that your world is the world. Everybody thinks the way you think. Everybody lives and values life and makes decisions and has the routine that you have. Proverbs says, every man's ways are right in their own eyes, but God judges. And I remember going to the Philippines and thinking, man, this place is huge. In Manila alone, 17 million people. All in their own busyness, doing their thing, their world. It's a big world. And you serve a big God. But sometimes we have created such a small world that we live in. We've defined the boundaries, parameters, friendships, routines, things we do, things we like to do, things we don't want to do, and all that. We've defined it so clearly, and we begin to cram our lives into the confines of our world. And it seems like it's a great thing to do because now you know the people, you know the routines, and all of a sudden, if we're not careful, we'll forget about the rest of the world. This is something that happens for a lot of Christians who've been saved for a while, because you first get saved, you have that transition and that tension of, I have so many friends that don't know Jesus, and I have some new friends that do know Jesus, and I'm trying to find the balance and work this out. And over time, you know what I mean, if you reach the ones that aren't saved and they get saved, or some kind of leave and do their own thing, and you wake up one day, and if you've been in the church a long time, you'll find that the parameters in most churches, not every church, not every person, and all of a sudden that the people have been there for a long time, their world is all defined by the Christian church parameter. It's their world. And there's a challenge that Jesus gives all of us today. We're going to see in the gospel. And he's challenging us that sometimes we have to look outside, look around that selfie of our world. Let's look at this gospel scripture, if we can, on the screen. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Next verse. You know the saying, 4 months, this is John's Gospel, chapter 4. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvesting. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already. I want you to stop there. Wake up and look around. Wake up and look around. Wake up. Say it with me. Wake up and look around. See, when you wake up, you have to get a different perspective. You got to change. You have to be aware of something that you were not aware of before. We need to be to wake up, and we need to look around. Jesus was telling the disciples that. Jesus, who was ministering every day. Jesus, who was healing the sick and casting out devils and doing some powerful stuff. Jesus had to remind the disciples, even in doing good, sometimes we get caught in the routine, the rhythm, our world. And we're not looking around, that there's a lot of people that don't know me. Do you know there's a lot of people that don't know Jesus? That in America, in St. Louis, you're like, nah, so much Christian television and radio and churches in every corner. Do you know, it started when a generation went from kids having to go to churches, and it wasn't about a relationship, it was about all this legalism. And those kids grew up, and they thought, I'm not going to put my kids through that. And so they didn't take their kids to school at all, or Sunday school at all, and they didn't take them to church. And then those kids grew up, and they got married and had kids, and they have no context. Are you listening? There's people that you will see every day walking by in the rhythm of life that have never heard the gospel. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are ripe. The opportunity is ready. If you're looking, if you're open, God's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for available people to say, God, use me. I want to be available. Use me. I want to be available to touch people's lives. 1 Corinthians says, one man plants, another man waters, but God gives the increase. It's not about you doing everything and you just going to the ones you select, because if it was up to us, we would select our best friends or a family member or kids. And sometimes those people that close to us, you can't reach effectively because of the relationship. You need to pray that the Lord of the harvest, that God would send somebody in their path that would say the right words in due season, that would catch their attention, that God could use to make a difference in their lives. But you're called to reach somebody, not everybody, not the ones you pick, but you let God show you, and God can use you to make a difference in the lives of people. Let me see our next scripture if we can. Proverbs 11:30. Look at this. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. One translation says that the seeds of goodness produce the fruit. When we do good, when we make a difference in the lives of people, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. It's the context of you making a difference in the lives of people. I'm choosing to look not just at myself, just not even at my selfie, not even at the camera. I'm going to look around because there's people that need to be reached. I just did a funeral yesterday for Ken Gao. Some of you might know him. He was here last Sunday. Sunday night, passed away unexpectedly. Great guy, a lot of charisma, very, just a great, lovable guy. He had a mechanic shop, so maybe he worked on your car at one time. But one of the things that he did, and his wife was sharing with me, every day he would go to work, own his own shop, and he was determined to reach somebody. He'd hand out Tag by God wristbands. He handed out more CDs. He invited people to church. And she said some days he'd come back and say, they laughed at me today. Because not everybody's going to say yes. Not everybody said yes to Jesus. 1 John, some people will choose darkness more than light. But the success for you is not getting them to pray. The success for you is obeying what God shows you to do. And it leaves it to them. And he would, every day, would go back out and say, today I'm going to reach somebody. He was determined to reach somebody. And at that funeral, it was probably one of the biggest funerals I've ever been a part of. We were supposed to, if you were there, we were supposed to start at 2 o'clock. And at 2 o'clock, there were still people lined outside trying to get in the building, trying to get into the funeral parlor, trying to get to the casket just to get to a seat. It was a huge group of people, standing room only. And his wife was like, I'm so amazed and shocked how many people he touched. Because he wasn't trying to touch the world. He was just trying to touch a few people every day. I'm not saying you have to do it that way. But I am encouraging you to begin to look beyond yourself and your world and see people that God will bring into your path. For he that wins souls is wise. Sometimes it's just planting the seed of doing something nice. Sometimes it's coming together. And when we do that, we can see God use us individually and corporately to reach out and see people get saved and healed and fed and ministered to and encouraged and blessed and all the good stuff. And you will find a quality of life that you did not realize existed when you get your eyes off yourself and say, Lord, I want to do something to make a difference and help you. Even that other scripture that we had up there in the Gospel of John, it said that the laborers, that the result is people getting saved, but the laborers are well paid. Your heavenly Father will make sure you are taken care of when you have a natural boss, but when you have a spiritual boss, your heavenly Father says, I'm going to work this out and make sure, because you've made me a priority and made reaching people for eternity a priority, and because those are priorities in your life, I'm not saying you have to go out and get on a bicycle with a white shirt and knock on every door in your neighborhood. No, I'm not. I'm not saying you got to stand at the corner and hand out tracks. No, I'm not. I mean, these Tag by God wristbands are a great tool you can use, but I'm saying let God show you how you can reach the people that he wants you to reach. Because you can't reach everybody, but he's called you to reach somebody. John 15, verse 17 and 16. He's called you to reach somebody. I'm excited because I really believe I'm talking to the choir, but not everybody gets this, but this gives you an opportunity to hear it again. Let me ask you a question. See if I can find these. Are you with me today?
Yes.
I said, are you with me today?
Yes.
I said, are you with me today?
Yes.
All right, what do these numbers, and this is not a lottery question, so. What do these numbers have in common? Are you ready? 122, 81, 66, and 72. I'll give you a few seconds to think about it. Don't shout it out if you know it. Just hold on. Some of you maybe were in the first service and you're going to cheat. Don't cheat. 122, 81, 66, and 72. Sometimes we get so caught up in doing stuff, we need to pause and celebrate what God is doing. 122, 81, 66, 72. Do you know what that represents? That represents the number of people who have said that Jesus, they prayed the sinner's prayer in each one of our past weeks. Last week, we had 122 people say they raised their hands and said, I prayed that prayer. The week before, 81. The week before that, 66. The week before, hang on. Now give the Lord a hand clap of praise, because this, to me, this is exciting. What is happening? Somebody's planting, somebody's watering, someone is abiding, someone is helping, someone's feeding, someone's encouraging. We all come together, and God is blessing, and people are getting saved. Lives are being changed individually, corporately. I'm telling you, when you get into doing God's business as the priority business, it's going to change your home, your marriage, your life, your quality, your finances, it changes everything. Because most people struggle with receiving the best that God has because the only reason they do what God asks them to do is to get the best that God has. I'm going to give because I'm looking for a big harvest. And God, what you sow will reap. But I'm saying when all of a sudden you're giving for the right reason, and God, I'm doing it because I love you and I want to see people get saved, it'll change your world. I'm not saying don't look for a harvest. You should. But I'm saying when you have the mindset of I want to make a difference, I mean, the two things that God's had on my heart, and I'm trying to close, the two things that keep coming to me, one is you are blessed to be a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. All the way from Abraham, Jesus goes through that same context. Freely receive, freely give. You are blessed to be a blessing. Say, I'm blessed to be a blessing.
I'm blessed to be a blessing.
And the other one that's been on my heart that keeps burning is get his word out. Getting God's word out. We give a free CD out. Why? Because I want the word in your life. We got a new online radio app. Why? Because I want the word in your life. We have podcasts and iTunes. I want the word in your life. We have the scriptures on the wristband. Why? I want the word in your life. Why? Romans 10 says faith comes by hearing the word. 1 John 5 says victory in your life comes from the word of God, which is connected to your faith. This is the victory that overcomes your world, even your faith. What am I telling you? We are going to get God's word out. I'm determined that we are looking for God ideas to get God's word out. We're working on cameras so that I can get God's word out. And I say I by all of us together. We are going to get God's word out. I'm telling you this not to take up an offering. Offering's behind us. I'm telling you to let you know where we are going. We are going to get God's word out. It's a light to the world. It's the good news to a dying world. And so people can get saved, healed, and ministered to. You must know that we love you, but we're not here to pamper you. If you want a church that pampers you, I can maybe give you a few to go dry. I am not here to make your world more comfortable. I'm here to put a sword in your hand and send you out into the highways and byways so we can do damage to the kingdom of darkness, build up the kingdom of God, and if they come to hope or don't come to hope, it's not building up Hope Church. We're doing God's work to see people saved, healed, delivered, ministered to. I'm not looking for a gathering of people that need to be patted on their head. I'm looking for an army of people that says, let me go to the hill because we can take that one for God. Not everybody likes that. Some people just want to come to church and someone says, you're going to make it. We love you. You're so wonderful. I'm going to say, get the dust off you. Stand up and let's go to war. Because there's people that are dying and going to hell that haven't heard. And we can't reach everybody. But we're going to reach the somebodies that God's called us to reach. So that one day you stand before the throne of God and you will hear from your heavenly Father, not only welcome, but you will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You can now enter the joy of the Lord. We're going to make a difference. We're not going to be passive. We're going to be aggressive with the things of God. Amen? 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 Amen. I'm telling you, that's why this would be a great time to take up an offering. But we're not going to do it. Because more than your money, and your money is a tool that we need to propel the gospel. I mean, every piece of equipment, you see even the cameras, every piece of equipment, tens of thousands of dollars. Why are we doing it? We could spend it on other things, and we do a lot for the community. We're doing it because God told me to get his word out. And I'm obeying what God speaks to my heart to do. And we are charging. But we're not going to take up an offering because I don't want you to think that I'm manipulating you to do something. Like Paul says, I want the fruit to your account. I don't want to give the devil a tactic to use that will short-circuit you from reaching the destiny that God has for you individually and for us corporately. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Did you hear me? This is not a game for me, and I'm not looking for one inning. I'm looking for the complete race to be done. I want to finish the game and win it. Even though the Cardinals couldn't do it, God bless them. Hey, quiet over there. I'm going to pray for you. Amen.